Hello and welcome to episode 65.5, a special episode of In PS We Trust, a PlayStation podcast. My name's Davey, and joined with me, as always, is the fine wine himself, Mr. Philip Hoy.
Hello. No wacky intros from me today because this is a supplemental episode, so I'm just going to keep things relaxed. So, hello viewers. Oh. How are we doing?
Oh, look, that is very relaxed, isn't it? And joining us as a special guest, Potato Chief from Potato Pro Wrestling and X Marks the Box podcast, an Xbox podcast. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I am the mental part of the supplemental part of this podcast. I don't know why I was going with that. Anyway, yeah, I'm good. Very exhausted because it's been WrestleMania week, so it's literally the most busy week of the year for my YouTube channel because, like, literally non-stop videos. But yeah, like, once you're in the groove, you want to just keep going, right? So I'm like, yeah, you want me on the podcast? Totally. It sounds like fun. Like, really looking forward to this. Always have a good time chatting with you guys.
Oh, well, good stuff. Well, we've got a nice little thing we're going to be going through today. And I suppose, audience, you may be looking at your radio and thinking, I didn't sign up for a 0.5 episode. What the shit's going on? Why isn't it a full 66? What the hell's happening here? Well, the reason is we went to Insomnia on the weekend, which is a kind of video game event, I guess you could call it that, which spans over the entirety of the Easter weekend. And the event itself, it wasn't that great, was it, Phil?
A little bit underwhelming. You say it's a video games exhibition, a video game show. Well, there wasn't many video games there really to play. We did try our Ultimate Gamer, which is our challenge when we go up there. And then the loser always has to have forfeit. You know, our podcast, we always punch down. So we did that, and we could play games like Point Blank on the original PlayStation. Outside that, there wasn't much there, was there? A little bit of retro play, and then there was a few indie titles, but very slim on the gaming. Just a convention.
It was. And the only thing that kind of sealed the deal for us going up there in the first place is, well, listeners, you know, we love a beverage. And so we went for a full night out in Birmingham, and that night out has claimed a casualty, and that is why Spencer Davis is not with us today. He is a mess. He's still alive, as far as I'm aware, but that young liver is being taken a beating. It turns out the old boys are still able to keep going. Isn't that right, Phil?
Just about. I am on the water tonight in my Orlando Magic Lenticular Cup, just because I don't want to look at alcohol for a little bit of time. So this is why we're on the 0.5 episode, because I couldn't handle a full episode, Davey. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I'm on that light today. That's for damn sure. Do you know, I went out for a meal with the family today. Went out for like an Easter meal. And my dad ordered me a San Miguel as I arrived. I looked at it thinking, oh shit, here we go again. Here we go again, baby. And I drunk that pint, and it was a struggle. It was a struggle. But I am on the coffee today, and that's just all that is going to get me through this is copious amounts of caffeine. But with Spencer being out of the mix today, we thought, well, let's get Lewis involved. Let's talk through some of the big topics that are coming up in the world of PlayStation at the moment. So we're going to be talking solely about the Q Lite, about this rumored handheld, because we didn't want to leave you, our audience, waiting another 2 weeks without hearing our dulcet tones coming through your radio. And that is why we are here. So we're not going to be going through quick news. We're not going to be going through any of the stuff that we normally do on this show. That is going to wait until Spencer's full recovery in a couple of weeks' time. But you're at least getting this. So, you know, if there's nothing else, I know you're looking at your Spotify's and you're thinking, I could bash a 5-star on this. Well, it's a 0.5 episode, so bang a 5 on it. It's got a 5 in that title, right? Again, 2 5s, in fact, 65.5. That's worth at least 1 5-star. But without any further ado, let's just dive into this, shall we, lads? So let's run you through what's been going on. There's been loads of rumours that are happening about different kinds of hardware that we're going to be receiving. Obviously, on the last episode, on episode 65, we were talking about potential PlayStation 5 Pro alongside a Slim option, and we covered all that to death on the last episode. But then, out of nowhere, come these rumors that Sony are dabbling in a handheld market. Now, this is something that we've been talking about for quite a long time, praying to the Vita gods that they'll bless us with something. And, well, it's kind of like a monkey's paw scenario, where we got what we kind of want, But maybe there's a bit of a caveat with this. Now, Phil, I'm going to pass it over to you. Can you run through what some of the rumors are with this Q-Lite and what we kind of know? And I'm using "know" in inverted commas here. It's just a rumor. Run us through what we've gathered at this point.
Of course. But let me take a step back, because listeners, viewers, you know we're huge handheld fans on this show. And at every opportunity, at every show, PlayStation, we talk about predictions. And we talk about that we want the next PSP. We want the next PS Vita. Now, this is the news. This is the PlayStation Q Lite. And what we know about it, it's not a lot at the moment. There's a couple of small facts that are creeping through. And I say facts in inverted commas, okay? So, apparently, there's going to be an 8-inch LCD screen in the middle of a handset. That's what it's going to look like. That's the form factor of it. And it's going to rely on the Sony PlayStation's remote play to play games. Now, as Davey alluded to in his opener, it's not exactly what we wanted. So I'm a little unsure where this one's going to go. Guys, how do you feel about it? Lewis, we brought you on the show for a reason. You love your handheld, same as me. What was your first thoughts when you heard this news?
I was like, well, I really want to buy it, but then I'm like, well, no, it's missing a couple of things for me. I mean, so the Logitech G Cloud has just come out, which is a similar kind of device that you can stream your Xbox games and Nvidia games and all that. And I'm assuming you could still stream your PlayStation games for it, because you can remote play PlayStation on mobile phones or anything like that anyway. The only down, like, if for me, I would buy this PlayStation device if it had two extra things. If it could cloud stream games without having a PS5, because that's the main downside to me, is the fact you have to own a PS5 and you have to stream it from your PS5 to play it. If you could have some kind of cloud access to, like, the library of PlayStation Plus Essential and Premium and all that, and have that cloud over, that would be great. And maybe have a couple of games native, like you could play like PS3 games or PS2 games, PS1 games natively. I mean, then it would be a worthwhile device. But if it's just purely for remote play, why not just use a mobile phone or an iPad? I've got an Android tablet in my office for £100, and I use that to do all my gaming streaming, and it works just fine. So I don't see why. It depends how much it costs as well, obviously. If this is cheap, but I can't see it being cheap because it's Sony. I mean, it's like the PlayStation VR. You need the console for it, and it's quite expensive. It's kind of it's like a bit locked off to the rest of, like, you know. I don't think it's like as open as it should be. I feel like it should have a bit more to it than what. If it's just remote play, then it's not worth the money, even if it is quite cheap. Personally, I think it needs a bit more to it than just remote play, personally.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head there, Lewis, and you've gone with the general consensus that we're seeing all across social at the moment, where people are a little bit outraged by the fact that it's going to rely so heavily on the PS remote play. Now, for me, being a PlayStation owner, doesn't feel like that's so much of a problem, but I can totally understand it from the Xbox point of view. If you don't have a PlayStation 5 and you're hearing about this new handheld console, and that's how you choose to play your media while you're on the go and you want to get into PlayStation, it might be a little bit of a sigh moment. Now, Davey, I know you're a big PlayStation fan. How did you feel about this news?
It's fucking pointless, is what this device is. It's an absolute waste of goddamn time. Why are they doing this? This is the thing that I don't get, right? The PlayStation Vita launched in what, 2011? Around about there, had an OLED screen. An OLED screen. It was its own device, and it was immense. The only things that let it down were it got dropped by PlayStation pretty much out the gate because they had stupid proprietary memory. And it completely botched it, because it meant that getting a memory card cost like £90 for like 50 gig. It was ridiculous. It was absolutely insane. And so they think, oh, well, what's a cheap little shit way that we can kind of dabble into this but not really invest an awful lot of money? Oh, you know that Backbone 1 controller that we half-assed put out last year? Let's just chuck a screen on that. That's what's it. Nice one, Gary. How much will that cost in R&D? I don't know, £50? Yeah, chuck it out. We bought Gaikai all those years ago for remote play. Hardly anybody uses it. So let's just make this remote play. Gary, Gary, you absolute demon. What a great idea. No, it's a shit idea. Why would I want to be able to do this? Even playing remote play downstairs while I take a dump with my PlayStation 5 on, there's no way I could play Call of Duty. I couldn't play anything that's even remotely Twitch-based, right? No chance. Best I could do would play like an old Final Fantasy on it, or something where it's turn-based, like a Persona or something like that. Fine. No bother with that. A Walking Dead, you know, a Telltale game. Fine. But anything that's got actual intricate control is going to be a slight issue with delay. And you saw how bad it was when they launched that fucking, that piece of shit, always online stream software that came out a couple of years ago that just died. I can't even remember what it's called. It was so pointless. Do you know the one I'm talking about? That always streamable console? Lewis, you probably remember what it's called. I've washed my brain of it. Oh, God, the Stadia. The Google Stadia. Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. And we all know how well that went, right? So why would this be any different? It won't be. It just won't be. And I think to be in a situation where you've got permanent internet connection is rare unless you're in your home. If you go to like a cafe or you go to public transport, which would be where this relies, how are you going to play this on a UK train? I lose connection all the time, even just watching YouTube videos. And on a plane, you're limited to like 2 megabyte downloads. It's unbelievable. It's never going to work for what its intended purpose is. And to me, it's just a complete farce. It's a waste of time. I'm very passionate about my hatred for this device because it feels like as if Sony have just finally listened to what we want with a... where we don't want them to cede this market just straight over to Nintendo. But instead of just doubling down on that, they've just put one toe in the water and think that's enough. It just stresses me out because I think, like, how many open goals do you need to have that you just ignore, right? And this is going beside the point that I don't even think now, with the fact they got VR to support, it's not the right time to go in with all this different hardware. You've got enough on your plate from the first party. We don't have the amount of studios that like that Microsoft do on paper or anything like that. You know, we don't have like hundreds and thousands coming in with different devs all the goddamn time. They're buying up. We've only got a small handful, and they should be predominantly working on next gen PS5 exclusives. With balancing that and VR, that's enough. Putting in a fucking handheld at any point is going to take extra resource away. And this device frees up that resource so they can continue working on the PS5. But then it also undercuts the reason why it needs to exist. And that's why I feel so strongly in the negative for this. But Mr. Hoy, I've gone on for a bit of a ramble here. What are your thoughts on this device?
It's no problem, mate. If you weren't going to go into a monologue, you know... I wouldn't know what to expect if you gave me a short answer. I think I'd be a bit flabbergasted. I'm sure our listeners, our viewers, they'd be right in. They'd be going, who have you replaced Davey with? We've replaced Spencer with Potato Chief. Who's coming in to sub for you?
It's just like a chat GDP thing, GPT thing. It's just like just a random program.
It's got some AI. What would Davey say? And it just comes up with reams and reams and reams and reams of information. Well, guys, you guys have been super negative on this. Now, I'm going to try and bring it back around because I am a little bit of a handheld aficionado these days. I was only on Lewis's show maybe a week ago, and we were talking about handhelds. We were talking about the Steam Deck, and we were also talking about the Analog Pockets, right? Now, I own both of those devices, and I play them regularly. When I'm on the move for work, when I'm going into the office or I'm traveling on the plane or the train, it's a perfect time to bring out those consoles and just play some games that maybe you wouldn't play when you're at home. Some a lot of indie games that I've been playing. And then, of course, on the Analog Pocket, a lot of the old Nintendo games that I've been playing. But I agree with you that in the sense that you need the strong internet, it's going to be a bit of an issue with this new Sony handheld. Because in the UK, we don't have good internet as soon as you step outside our houses. In the media, generally, they say, oh, internet's okay. But practicality, when you're traveling about, you just don't have the connection to be streaming the level of PlayStation that you come to expect these days. But in other countries, this differs, okay? So out in places like Australia, out in Japan, out in China, their internet connection generally is a lot stronger than ours. And for those markets, I can completely understand going down this route. But for the UK, we've just not been thought about. There are some positives in some of the things that they are talking about with the Q-Lite. We're going to be getting adapter triggers. Now, we haven't really seen that outside, of course, the standard PlayStation 5 handset. That would be very cool to have on a mobile device, to be able to see what you can be doing when you're out and about with the sort of mobile triggers and sort of bring that in to a handheld device. But outside that, I can't really see too much positivity with this one. I'm really struggling. I'm trying to be the positive guy. I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit with this one because I do feel the same as you both. And I'm a little bit apprehensive to what they're promising here. And for the UK market, I don't know if it's going to hit.
And I was also going to mention the fact that knowing you guys quite well, you are collectors of physical media. So you're going to be outside the house. What if you want to play Call of Duty? It's like, oh, I have to swap the disc. How am I going to do that when I'm outside the house? Like, if you were all a digital system, then you wouldn't have this issue. But obviously, you want to keep discs. And I'm not having a go at you for that. I think that's a good thing to buy physical media. But it does screw over the physical media people. You know, it doesn't give you much options when it comes to that.
You're 100% right, Lewis. I mean, this is the thing. You'd have to think in your head, right? You're going on holiday for 2 weeks. Say you go into like this five-star resort. They're like, yeah, it's perfect internet everywhere you go. Great. What if I got installed? Oh, no. Oh, no. I got a Telltale Games over in 6 hours. What the fuck am I going to do with the rest of my time? There's nothing else, right? And granted, that's a very niche demographic that are like us, where it's just physical. Most people now are digital. But that's another reason where it's just another kick me while I'm down moment for Davey, where it's just like, oh, yeah. Well, you want to play the other games you got installed on your shelf? Better fucking get the Play-Doh and put it back in your PlayStation then, you stupid dick. It's like, oh, I can't take any more of these little stabs that you're putting in. Oh, I can't take it, Sony. Stop it, Sony. Stop. But yeah, grim times.
Maybe, Davey, you'll have to invest in one of those detachable disc drives that is apparently launching now in September. So you could possibly have two discs in your PlayStation. And now you've got the choice then. Just choose two games that are going to last you the time when you're on holiday. Or maybe just double up. How many USBs are on a PlayStation 5?
You got
two on the back, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be enough. Keep buying detachable drives. You can get a USB hub. You could have your whole catalogue in detachable disc drives attached to your PlayStation 5.
Or you could get Spencer to stay at your house and literally just ring him. He's like, can you swap the discs around, please? Well, so I can actually play on my cloud. Yeah, can you just swap the disc to me, please, Spence?
That would work. Yeah, the person that comes in to look after the cat for us while we go on holiday, I'd be like, oh, do you mind, next time you go up, do you mind just, you know, give me a call first, just in case I'm in the middle of playing the Telltale game for the 100th time. Can you just let me know so I can exit the game and then just put the new one in for me? Thank you very much. Cheers. And then they accidentally press the wrong eject button because I still don't know which one it is to this day. And before you know it, it's off and I'm stuffed, right? But what they need to do is they need to create one of those things they had in like old Rover cars back in. I always remember it because my gran had one where in the boot, there was just a multi-CD changer in the back of old cars, right? And that's what they need to have for the place. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is what they'll bring out alongside it. It's not a single disc. It's a six-disc changer. And then this will solve my problem.
I always remember those in cars making so much noise because were mechanical, weren't they? Yeah, it literally had an arm that would go up and pick up the CD, pull it out and put it down. So like, so hopefully it's going to go down that track because you would need to be able to access a bunch of discs if you're away, for sure, as the physical crowd that we are. And my discs, they're stored upstairs. So I don't know how they're going to get access to it unless it's going to sprout little legs and walk up my stairs.
Also, I feel if you're a non-PS5 person and they're swapping the discs around, I feel they might put the disc in the wrong way around because I still have that issue. It's like, why is the disc this way and I said it that way? It doesn't make any sense.
I know we're ranting here and we're going into the world of obscurity, but let's say on this new PlayStation Q-Lite device, there's an eject button for your CD on your PlayStation 5. Imagine you press that while you go away by accident and it just ejects the disc. And you're like, right, can't play anything now. Done.
That'd be such a design failure, wouldn't it? It's just there.
Yeah.
Well, actually, on the PlayStation 5, you can go into options and you can click on eject disc, right? You can do that through the options menu.
Can, yeah.
What if you just did that and you didn't think about it? And you're like, oh no! Granted, this again, very, very niche, very, very niche issue here. I suppose the bigger issue, right, and this is something that that you brought up upon about the fact that different countries have better internet access, they got better infrastructure for this kind of device, right? Me and Lurian listened to the show, shout out Lurian, and we were kind of getting into it on Twitter about this because he was saying, oh, well, his mind originally was in the same line as me, you know, being very negative, being like, oh, well, what's the point? And then after about 20 or so minutes, he puts out another tweet. It's like, yeah, actually, I get it. I get this. I get what this is for. It's for like Asian markets. And so I thought, well, do you know what? I'm going to look up how much is selling in Asia, because as far as I'm aware, it's not done very well in Japan. And Japan, they're not the market they used to be for video game sales. At the moment, for PlayStation 5, they sold 3 million since launch. Fuck all. Absolutely fuck all. And in China, I know they've just kind of broke into the Chinese market, and we're going to see that kind of, well, they're hoping, especially with the different partnerships they got with all these different Chinese developers that we were speaking about a few episodes ago on the show. They're hoping they can kind of capture this market now and, you know, find bigger success they've probably ever had in Sony's whole entire life. They can really crack China. But at the moment, as it stands right now, the market just isn't there for this. Like, even if they sold to every single person who owned a PS5 in Japan, you're talking 3 mil. That's it. Because nobody in the UK, unless you're really hardcore, or unless you've got a very edge case scenario, you know, like it's a case of you work in the centre of London, your office has got cracked internet, or you're sharing a TV with somebody, and so they want to watch Coronation Street and you want to play your PlayStation 5. Unless you're in like those edge case scenarios, I can't see there being another reason for this. And the UK and Europe in general is like the biggest market for PlayStation. It you know, we don't have the competition that Xbox give PlayStation in the US. It's not really the case over here and with Europe. Is very much a Sony-centric place. So if you don't crack this market, it's not going to have much of a chance of success.
I like the idea in principle. A streaming device seems like that is the future of like where we're going with this. But I feel like the fact that it's attached to your PS5 is the main downside to me. If PlayStation let you stream your games from PlayStation Plus, like Game Pass, you don't need an Xbox to play Game Pass games. So like that's like the big selling point, is like, oh, you'll have Call of Duty for £10 a month and you can just stream it onto an iPad or whatever. That's like the main selling point of Game Pass now. The fact that you need to buy a £500 console just to stream games onto your handheld seems a bit of a flaw to me. I feel like if they could sell this PlayStation handheld and you could also cloud stream and not have to have a PS5, and it could be like your gateway to getting into PS5. It's like, oh, I like that game. I would like to actually play that on a native system in like 4K with 60 frames a second instead of playing it on my little handheld with a bit of lag. I'd rather buy the console. I feel that might have been a better way of doing it. Like, it's almost like a gateway in to get a PS5 instead of something you need, like an attachment for the PS5, which is what it is. It's like, it's like the VR is something you need the PS5 to get this extra. I feel like this would have been better as like a gateway thing if you had other ways of playing it without the PS5.
I suppose the one thing, and that's very true, I agree with you on that one. I suppose the thing about it is that if you're like a PC-only player right now, you can stream PlayStation games without having a PS5, right? You can sign into the PlayStation Plus app and you can stream them that way. So there's no reason why they couldn't add that into the handset functionality. I suppose for me, it's a case of like the streaming future for video games. Just, it's not now. It's not there yet. You know, this is something that in maybe a few years' time, say 5 or 10 years' time from now, where you've got such cracked internet kind of everywhere that delay isn't a thing, or if it is, it's so minuscule that it's not really that much of an issue. We're not in that world. I mean, I live in Cwmbran, right? My internet is 65 megabytes. You know, and that's at home. Whereas like Phil's on like fucking supersonic bloody internet. He's on like the internet's like Professor X level, reads your mind and downloads it before you even thought about it, internet. And, you know, and that's the issue with Cumbran. Let alone if you're living in a buttfuck nowhere in the middle of God knows where rural England, you know? There's no chance.
I mean, to counter that is that we wouldn't be able to do a podcast like this like 4 or 5 years ago. We wouldn't be able to watch YouTube videos 4 or 5 years ago on Netflix. You know, like, I feel like technology does move fast and the internet has got much, much better over the last 5, 10 years. I don't think it's the cloud future now, but it's not far off. I can see it happening within the next like decade for sure.
Things are only going to get better in this regard, though. Internet's only going to get faster. Availability to internet is only going to get better. And yes, I do live in the age of 1 terabit internet over here in Bristol. Davey lives in the past in Wales, and that's why his internet is so bad. But going back to something you touched on a minute ago, and you said this was a little bit of an edge case scenario where maybe someone wants to use the TV downstairs and you maybe don't have access to it 24/7 like a lot of us do. Now, I'm one of those people. You know, I live in a house with my girlfriend. She'll want to use the TV and I don't have access to my PlayStation. I have to come upstairs and unfortunately I try and play League of Legends, and that's usually what I spend my time doing. But when I've got a bit of spare time, or when I'm just before bed, I generally take my handset up and play a little bit, maybe play an hour before bed. Okay, now this is where I could see the PlayStation Q Lite coming into its own for me at that time, that hour before bed where I've been gaming all day. And I'm like, oh, I'll just go upstairs, spend some time with the missus. Not really spending some time. I'm just spending some time in the same room. I'll break out the Q Light, and then I'm back into RE4 Remake, aren't I? And I can finish that game. I can do that extra hour. And then the boys aren't rinsing me on the next episode of the podcast for not playing any games. So that's where I could get my gaming in.
The only thing I'd say to you, Phil, is that you could do that right now. You could just buy a Backbone 1, just put your phone in horizontal orientation, slot it right in, and you can do that if you wanted to, and it would cost you £99, which is, you know, absolutely obscene price for what is a really knockoff shit version of a controller. So would that, if I mean, and the price point's kind of important here, but would the fact that it's got an LCD screen built into it, would that be the thing that gets you to do it, rather than just go onto your phone and just go pop it in and Bob's your uncle?
Now, with the Q Lite, you are going to be getting a certain level of quality, because this is a Sony product as such. It's no third party here developing it. And of course, you are going to be getting those all-important adaptive triggers, okay? So I'm not going to lose too much by going upstairs. I'm just going to be going down, and the quality maybe dips a little bit when I'm going on the 8-inch screen rather than my 55-inch 4K downstairs. That's the only difference, really, isn't it?
Well, that's true. In terms of how it will feel, it should be 1-to-1, right? And the pictures they've showed are basically just half a DualSense on each side, kind of like, yeah. And so it looks like, yes, that will probably be the same, I imagine. The only thing you have to contend with is potential latency. That would be your biggest thing. And the fact that it's rumored to be 1080p 60 would be the only difference. So, yeah, apart from that, you'd be pretty good to go. So I suppose the biggest thing, right, with this entire thing is cost. How much would you be willing to pay for something that is kind of a half step to a portable device? Something that is a streaming-only device? What kind of cost? And Phil, since you're the one that's, you know, you've given at least a case scenario why potentially this might be of interest to you. You're not saying it definitely will be. I'm not going to hold it to you when it eventually comes out. But how much would you be willing to pay for something like this?
You're right. I'm the most positive on this podcast, but compared to you both, it's very easy to be positive on this, because all I've heard is negativity from both of you since we've started this 0.5 episode. Well, if you're going to make me give you a price for this, and I think it's going to be expensive, because at the end of the day, we are talking about a Sony product. There's going to be quality here. We are getting adaptive triggers. We are getting a very nice little screen in the middle of your DualSense handset. So I'm thinking it's going to be expensive, and I'm thinking it's going to be around the £300 price mark would be my guess.
300 quid for what is a controller with a shit screen on it?
I think so. Yeah.
A 1080p Not even OLED screen. Holy God. Well, would you buy it for that price premium 300 quid, Phil?
No, I would not. That's a lot of money. But now tell me what you would price this at and then think, would Sony price it at that? Because I don't think they're going to go lower than that sort of price point. Everything from Sony these days comes at a premium. We've just seen their new handset. That's expensive. We've just seen their new VR. Expensive. We've just seen the PS5. Expensive. Now tell me this is going to be cheap.
I don't think it's going to be cheap. Because if they were doing it cheap, they'd probably do it for like 90 quid, right? For cheap. It's fuck all. It's a tiny little screen on it. It's not going to cost that much. It's not like as if you're talking, you know, an 8K or 4K screen here. This is a 1080p screen. They've probably got a million of these sitting around from their last, from 10 years ago when they did the fucking Xperia phone. They've probably got loads of them stacked about on the, all around the place. Or they just think, oh shit, just send your Vitas in. And not the OLED one. That's too good. That's too good, the OLED one. So send in the revision, the cheaper Vita screen, and we'll just chuck that on there. And it doesn't even have to have touch controls on it, other than maybe if you want to pull up the map. Maybe it's got tiny touch right at the front, I guess. Cheers. Thanks a lot, Sony. I reckon this would be, if they were even remotely trying to find a market, 120 would be max. Because it's just a DualSense controller in half with a shit screen on it. There's no way it should be more than that. It can't do anything on its own. It's fucking useless. So why should it be much more? And the you know, you're talking about like the price of VR. The tech that's in that VR 2 is a steal for the price it's at. An absolute steal for the level of tech that you've got in that headset. So I don't know. I mean, sure, the PlayStation Edge controller is expensive. It's an expensive bit of kit. I haven't played with one yet. I still don't know what it feels like compared to a normal DualSense, but it is expensive. This is very much a case of it just looks like parts they got out the back, chuck them together, and some mug will buy it, right? 120 is my top guess. No higher than that. What about you, though, Lewis? What are you thinking?
Right, so I agree. I agree with both of you in a way, because I feel like it will be £300, but it should be £120. I feel like the price, it should be a lot cheaper than it's going to be, but it's going to be very expensive. The thing is, like, you could buy a Switch for like £250. You can buy the Logitech iCloud G Tech. I've forgotten what it's called. It's crap, but anyway, it's like 400 quid. That's a streaming device. That does all the same stuff, but it also streams Xbox games and NVIDIA games as well. You've got a Steam Deck, Phil, so I don't know why you don't just use your Steam Deck if you're going to stream games. And also, I was going to say, the Vita. Like, why not just use your PlayStation Vita if you still got one? It does the same thing. I mean, it's baffling to me. I mean, I bought an Android tablet just for streaming games, and that was £100. So, like, you know, like, you can get a £100 tablet that plays pretty decently. You don't need to, it doesn't need to cost the earth, but knowing Sony, it probably will be about £300, because, as you said, they like to give off the air of it being premium, even if it's loads of spare parts that have been left in the warehouse, like you said.
I reckon all you need to do, cost-saving tip from Davey here, right? Get your DualSense controller, saw it in half, stick it on either side of one of these 100 quid things, and then hope that it will work. Just hope it will work. I'm sure maybe it might. I don't know. Try it. Let us know. Write into the email, psvtrust@gmail.com. Let me know how it went, especially if you do it with a PlayStation Edge. Saw that in half. Stick that to the edge of some Motorola flip phone from 2004 and see how that plays. Do that. Do that.
I was going to ask, because I'm not, like you guys probably know, does the PS5, or was it the DualSense work on PC and like streaming devices? Like because you said you can stream PlayStation games onto your PC. Does the DualSense work with that? So, and then why wouldn't you just have a tablet and a DualSense if you're going to do that? Like, are you joking aside? I mean, you could just, yeah. I mean, it's not in your hand, but you just put the tablet on a shelf and then you could. Like, it's the same thing, right?
So you can use the DualSense Edge and DualSense on the Steam Deck. You can use the PlayStation 4 handset on the Steam Deck. They're all compatible, but obviously it's not supported by Sony in that sense, right? So you're not going to get the full adaptive triggers. You're not going to get any of the kind of features that you would on the DualSense outside it being a DualSense that you're using. So actually the PS4 is probably the best handset to be using on Steam Deck.
Yeah, exactly right. I was just about to say exactly the same thing. You're not going to get the full PlayStation experience that you get as part of the DualSense controller. But in terms of actually being able to play it, yes, you can do. So if you like the form factor and you don't care if you're missing out on all the bells and whistles that come with that, which to me I find very, very enjoyable, especially for a game like the game which Carmen mentioned, 4 Remake, where the haptics are in every single movement that you make. I find them really, really engaging. Yeah, you're not going to get that. But if it saves you, what, £300 you guys are throwing out for the price for this, then Christ, I don't care about haptics that much. You know, definitely not. If anything, you could hire a small child to come and just wiggle your hands a little bit, or just, you know, maybe you want that 4D experience. Now you can just get them to just go around and just the winds in the game, they just run past, just blow on you like kids do, covered in like spit and all sorts of shit. But they'll probably do it for like a fiver and a magazine. And that would do it, you know. Christ, I'll come round for £300. I'll come round a couple times a month and I'll just give you the impression that things are happening. What I'll do is I'll set up a little Jenny and you'll be on your bed and your bed will start shaking like mad. You get that full 4D experience like you're in the cinema. And yeah, save you a fortune in the long run.
Probably nothing that I'm going to be subscribing to, Davey, unfortunately. When I go up to bed with my missus and I pull out the video game console, I don't want you popping around and shaking the bed for us.
Well, she'll be like, oh, God, it's Sunday again, isn't it? And you're like, yeah, sorry, I signed this contract 15 years ago. I don't even play this, but I've still got this on a subscription method now and I can't cancel.
It's auto-renew, isn't it?
It is
auto-renew. And I just haven't been bothered to cancel that subscription. And he's back around, blowing in my face, spitting on me.
And I hate doing it too.
As I'm playing the games.
You know, I'm like, Christ, this was funny at the time when I set this up. And now it's I can't get out of it. I'm stuck doing this. My wife's like, can we go on a romantic meal tonight? Sorry, love. It's the last Sunday of the month. You know what that means? Got to drive all the way over there. Shake the bed.
I don't know, Davey. I think a lot of people would pay a lot of money to get spit on and all that. You can probably make a good deal out of that.
Hey, maybe. Hey, maybe there's a market
don't
for it. If they can sell this fucking handset, maybe I could sell that as a service. Who knows?
Well, the next advancement in handsets apparently is the hot and cold. Apparently, that's something that seems to be rumored around the socials at the moment. The kind of idea that the handset would heat up or cool down depending on where you are in video games. So, yeah, look out for that one. Alternatively, you can hire Davey to bring in some ice cubes or just flick his lighter beneath your hands.
Yeah. Exactly right. What the hell? I mean, I know this is going off topic for this, but that handset is just ludicrous. I think you and me, Phil, right, and of course yourself, Lewis, we could just go into Photoshop, or you guys can go to Photoshop, I'll provide the ideas, and we could just come up with just a controller that just makes smells for you. And that would be the next thing that somebody comes up with, some smells. Other bollocks thing. Ooh, it's like
smell-o-vision.
Yeah, just that you, oh, well, let's just smell the gunshot. Oh, great. That's going to be fantastic with a stinking hangover. Let's smell this, you know, just dusting out on your face, just getting covered in fucking fart juice. No chance. It's so ridiculous, some of these fucking concepts that are coming out. And this is by far is one of the worst, this fucking answer. I'm so passionate. I'm so anti this whole idea, this whole streaming thing. It's just... It's pissing me off, guys.
You guys love your haptics, though. I can't stand them, I'm going to be honest. I'm always like, turn that shit off as soon as the whenever we play like Super Smash Brothers, I always turn the rumble off straight away and I turn the haptics off. I don't like any of that. I'm good. I wouldn't pay extra to have hot and cold. I'm like, pay extra to not have hot and cold in my controllers, thank you. I'd rather just my controller be a controller. I'm an old man, damn it. I like it, my consoles controllers the way they are.
Never had a rumble pack on your N64 then, Lewis?
No, I didn't actually. No, I didn't bother buying one.
Just save that for memory cards. Brilliant. Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Well, keep things simple, isn't it? You know,
you must have been a big fan of the PlayStation 3's original controller, because that thing was just a shell, was it? Do you remember that? And I remember unpacking that and being like, whoa, this is so light. And then I was playing for a while and I was like, hold on a second. Something's missing here. They've done me. There's no rumble. And I remember then buying a Japanese imported DualShock 3 when they first came with rumble, and just importing it because it came out like 6 months before in Japan, and getting it, and I was like, oh, it's back, baby. It's back. And it was just a PS2 handset, just with shit triggers.
I mean, the original PS3 controller, all I ever remember is like Uncharted, playing the Uncharted and like trying to balance on a beam going, whoa, whoa. Like, why is this in here? It's like, I'd rather just use a stick.
When you throw a grenade by having to like angle it with a gyro. What a gimmick that was. That was not a good time.
Or when you shoot a bullet in some games and you've got to guide it through like round walls and things. No. Yeah, you're right. So some of these things are just gimmicks on handsets, aren't they? And they're poorly used in video games. They really are. But I'm along the same sort of lines as you, Lewis, when it's like, keep things really, really simple. But no, I am enjoying the DualSense Edge handset, definitely, for sure, because it is quality. And just to try and bring this slightly back on topic, I'm expecting the same now with this new PlayStation handheld.
We might as well bring this to a close. Guys, I suppose the big thing here is we've got our potential price points. Do you think this is real? Or do you think this is going down the same lines as the temperature controller and it's just a load of shit? What do you think? Lewis, give me your thoughts.
I mean, it'd be hysterical now if this is fake and the heating controllers is real. That would be hysterical. It's like completely the opposite to what you think. I think this is real, unfortunately. I mean, I think like clouds... gaming cloud is the cloud future is a thing, and I feel like Sony's seeing that Xbox is doing quite well with it, and they're like, we want to get in this and involved in this as well. So like, you know, I feel like this is something they definitely want to invest money into. And as you said, it is just dipping a toe though. I feel like this is just them experimenting at the moment. I unfortunately do think this is a thing, and I do think it's gonna be very expensive, unfortunately. I would prefer a Vita 2, which is native stuff, but there you go. Sadly, I think this is the future.
What about yourself, Mr. Hoy?
Completely agree with Lewis on this one. You know, we're all here begging for the next PlayStation handheld, but this is what we're getting, and it is a step forward, but it's not the step we wanted, but it is a step forward. And that's to say that if we do support this and this goes down well within the community, which I'm sensing it's not from you two, then possibly we will get what we want from a PlayStation handheld in the future. Maybe this is just the step in the right direction. It's the 0.5 of an episode towards the full episode. That's what I see this as. And this is aptly named because this is a 0.5 episode that we're on right now. And I believe that handset, it's a 0.5 to where I want it to be.
Well, I am going to sit on the outlier with this. I don't think it's true. I think this is something that won't leave R&D. I think they're going to quickly realize that this thing is not worth putting out. Because you've got to find space for it somewhere. And unless you're selling it from PlayStation Direct, which already hampers its potential sales, I don't see this being something that they should even remotely consider doing. They're better off just putting in a push for just having a better version of the Backbone 1 and just have something, just a controller that you put out yourself for the mobile market. Everyone's got a mobile phone. It's a way easier and cheaper way to be able to go towards that without having to put something out yourself. And so, no, I don't think this will reach past the design stage on this one.
The Xbox, they were going to bring out the Keystone, which was a streaming box that just streamed games, and they said that we're no longer developing that because it's not cost effective. And I feel like this might be the same thing as your PlayStation handheld. I feel like the idea is there, but maybe it's not cheap enough for them to develop for it to be worthwhile. Like, it might be the fact that they have to sell it for £300 and they know it's not going to be worth £300 to the consumer. I think they, as you said, they might not go through R&D. I mean, that is also a possibility.
I could definitely see it being a case where, you know, as I said earlier, Gary thought it up, and just, you know, they thought, yeah, great idea, let's get a trademark on this, you know, let's get a patent on it, great stuff. But then we've seen so many patents over the years that have never come to pass, and I don't believe this for one moment. However, I would love to know what you think on this one, audience. Remember, there's a load of ways that you can interact with us as a podcast. The first, of course, you can write into the email pswetrust@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on any of our socials. I am at SSJ Davey.
I'm at Philip Hoy.
I am at Potato Chief and at XMarksBox.
And of course, we've got our podcast specific Twitter at InPSWeTrust. Let us know. Do you think this is real? What price point would you consider buying one for? And is this something that you're interested in? Any questions we get for this will be brought up into the full episode in 2 weeks' time for episode 66, when, of course, the return of my little poppet himself, Spencer Davis, will be coming back on. And I'd love to unpack his brain on this one as well, see where he lies on this. But that is going to bring our supplemental episode, episode 65.5, to a close, guys. It's been a lovely conversation. I feel like I've really got some stress off from going through this with you guys. And I got to say, it's been quite cathartic for me. So thank you for indulging me and letting me just get this off. And I'm sure that my wife's going to feel a lot happier now that I'm not sulking around the house, speaking under my breath about goddamn Q like this and goddamn Q like that. So, if anything, you've probably saved my marriage for another couple of weeks. But that has been episode 65.5. I have been Davey.
I've, of course, been Phil.
I've been Lewis.
Take care, guys.
Peace.
In PS We Trust is hosted by Davey, Phil, and Spencer. You can write into the show via our email, pswetrust@gmail.com. Our Twitter is at In PS We Trust. To find each of us online, follow our Twitters, at SSJ Davey, at Philip Hoy, at SpenPie_. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. See ya.